We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everybody. It's Steve Alexander, Dr. A. It is Wednesday, March 20th. This is the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, sponsored by SmartBracket.io. I am Dr. A. He's Rick. It's a Wednesday night, dude. This is kind of weird. It's not Thursday morning. Maybe we're more in our element in the evening. We're watching the Celtics and the Bucks, and we're going to talk about everything fantasy NBA right after this.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It is Rick Kamla and FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Alexander here on a big night in the NBA, the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, right here in the heart of the fantasy playoffs. We're in some big games. We know you're in some big games. We're going to take a bunch of your comments. And so I got to get Dr. A fired up here about an Ant-Man rant in just a moment. But we begin with a big game. It's going down in Boston right now. And Doc, as we're talking right now, Damian Lillard is making shots. Malik Beasley just made a three. The lead is down to five. Boston had a big lead in the first half, and Damian Lillard has really powered this comeback for Milwaukee here. Jason Tatum had a huge first half. No Drew Holiday tonight. No Giannis Antetokounmpo tonight. I'm a little concerned about Drew Holiday, Doc, because it's an AC joint sprain. He's been missing some time with an elbow, just kind of the injury that they put on the report, so the league doesn't holler at him and fine him. But now this is a new one here for Drew Holiday. So I don't know what's going on with that. Giannis now has missed a couple of games in a row with this hamstring injury. So any level of concern here? I mean, clearly, if you roster Drew Holiday or Giannis right now trying to win, you know, fantasy playoff games, this is not good.
Dude, it sucks. I mean, you ride Giannis all year to the first round of your playoffs, and then he sits on Sunday, Monday. He's two games in a row, man. Jimmy Butler, Drew Holiday, Giannis. I mean, you just can't have that happen. And I mean, it just stinks. It's just sad. I just feel bad. Like Soren, my son, has Giannis. Sorry, kid. I don't know what to tell you. Like, yeah, there's a level of concern. Like, if they're missing, if Giannis is missing this game at Boston, when Milwaukee still has a lot to prove to me and a lot of other people, it's disturbing. It's sad.
Jaylen Brown just had an amazing baseline drive. He just bum rushed. I think it was Middleton. It big boyed him and got him out of the way and just went right to the rim and put in a nice finish. It was Middleton. He was hitting him with the whole package. And then drove for the bucket. Peyton Pritchard was a huge difference maker in the first half. If you streamed him tonight, congratulations. The Drew Holiday thing, he has drifted, Doc, depending on the league. He's not a waiver wire guy, but he's also not like a premium guy anymore. Doesn't hit a bunch of threes. The blocks and the steals have kind of gone down for Drew Holiday, so now he's out. You should be able to overcome the absence of Drew Holiday and still get it done with your team. Giannis is a different story here. So we definitely sympathize with those of you guys that are dealing with Giannis Antetokounmpo out. We'll continue giving you updates on this game as we're here live on the air. It is the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by SmartBracket.io. And so, Dr. Wright, Anthony Edwards has been dominating the headlines recently, okay, with the block against Neesmith, with the dunk the other night on John Collins, with, I mean, almost tied the game up against Denver last night at the buzzer with a good look left wing three that he just, I believe, left a little bit short, didn't score in the fourth quarter last night, but he is taking over this league right now without Cat, without Gobert perpetually here. So I want to tee you up here for Ant-Man and what you got to say about him.
Well, my question is, and Kurian and I have been on the last 2 weeks on Tuesdays talking about why can't Ant-Man get any love for MVP, right? Is the dunk of the year, which, by the way, was a 25-mile-per-hour rocket launch straight into the dome of John Collins that probably contused him. So you add that to the block of the year, as you mentioned, against the Pacers, the fourth-best record, the number one seed in the West for half the year, no Cat, Gobert in and out, and a 40-year-old point guard that nobody thought was any good anymore. Mike Conley's still running that show. And Anthony Edwards, through all of this adversity, is still dominating, and no one cares. Why does no one care?
I don't think it's about nobody cares. I think it's about, Doc, you look at the top five for MVP. Me and Antonio Daniels talked about this a few days ago on NBA radio. You know, this exact thought here. Is he getting enough love? Does he deserve more love? You clearly think he deserves more. But your top five is pretty tough to break through and knock one of those guys out. My top five for MVP is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Nikola Jokic, Jason Tatum, and then
Luka probably.
Giannis and then Luka. Okay, so like, does Ant-Man have a better MVP case than those guys? To me, he doesn't, because the stats aren't as eye popping as the Doc. Those four guys, Giannis, Luka, SGA, and Jokic, are putting historic stats up. Jason Tatum is not, but Jason Tatum is the best player on by far the best team in the NBA in the regular season. That's why he's at three for me. A lot of people have Tatum number one, but I think Ant-Man is getting the appropriate amount of MVP love. I'm not trying to like shove back here. I'm just saying, I think he's in like is Jalen Brunson, right? Is he six? If we're going to go MVP 1 through 10, right? I would probably put Ant-Man 6 and Brunson 7. But those would probably be those next two guys. But Doc, how do you break through if you're Ant-Man, that top five that I just described right there?
Well, I mean, their record is way better than Dallas's record. Way better. I don't know if you can really – I mean, Ant-Man's out there, you know, breaking his finger in half, throwing some dirt on it, putting some tape on it, coming back out and finishing off his opponent every single night. He's leaving the game at halftime to go have a baby, and he's back at work the next day getting shit done. Like Anthony Edwards is balling, dude. And he's out there every night. He's a dog. Like, he doesn't care. And that's more than I can say when we got DeAndre Ayton in the headlines for sleeping on a freaking air mattress all year, trying to play his way out of Portland and not being able to show up for a GD snow game. I got my man Ant out there every day getting it done. All right. In honor of Anthony Edwards and his dunk, Rick. All right. I pulled this out of the old shoebox. This is the Daryl Dawkins game-worn pony
that I took. Amazing. That is amazing.
I took him shopping for that. Like, we went together to the store and bought that because his equipment got stolen off the plane or at the airport, and he didn't have shoes to play in 1986. So, as you know, Daryl Dawkins used to break backboards, and he would name his dunks. And one of them was like the Robazine crying, glass flying, whatever. So I named an Anthony Edwards dunk, the one that he threw down the other night in John Collins' house. Are you ready?
Yes.
That one was called the Rim Riding, John Collins Be Crying, 10 Feet of Flying, cornbread frying, elephants are flying, head contusion trying, MVP denying, I ain't even lying, dunk.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. That's a poetry right there. Those are lyrics, man. Those are lyrics. Put them on the back of a t-shirt. That was good, dude. That was good. I like that.
Okay, that's
you
all I got.
You got to put that in one of your articles or something, man.
Good night. I'll be back next week.
Get some more legs out of that, man. Get some more legs out of that. That's hot. You know, Ant-Man, wow. He's the good stuff, Doc. My favorite parts about ball players, my favorite characteristics are tough and clutch. And this is in any sport. And I mean, so that's Jordan, that's Kobe, right? That's Magic Johnson, like tough and clutch, tough mentally, tough physically, and clutch as hell. And Ant-Man is both of those. And he's cut from that Jordan and Kobe cloth in terms of being a wing, being a two, being rocked up, being in phenomenal shape, being able to just jet propel off the floor. He's kind of the next in that lineage, man. It's almost like LeBron is maybe going to pass the baton on to him. Is this like freakishly athletic tank that just takes over the league, man. But it's such a good time to be an NBA fan, Doc. And obviously that sounds like a corny phrase or whatever. But you think about the rise of Brunson. If you don't love Jalen Brunson, you suck. I mean, you just absolutely suck. If you don't love Ant-Man, you suck. Okay. If you don't love Wemby, you suck. So, and I could go on here. And there's so many guys that are so fun to watch, and they're right at the beginning and they're popping and flowering right now before our eyes.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Speaking of that, I want to have a Victor Wembanyama conversation with you, Dr. A, and everybody else here on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by SmartBracket.io, Rick Kamla and Steve Alexander. Who is Wemby going to be the number one overall pick in fantasy basketball next year? Because coming into this year, I can't say it was a consensus, Doc. Maybe you would correct me if you want to here, but to me, Jokic and Luka coming into this season was a pretty good debate. And I would have taken Jokic probably just because. But, you know, I mean, we knew that Luka was going to flirt with a 30-10-10 stat line, okay? Now, he's gone north of that and had a spectacular year, and the steals are up for Luka Doncic and all kinds of stuff, right? And so coming into the season. But, Doc, right now, next year, in a redraft, you're giving me the first pick. How am I passing up Doc, in the second half, Wemby is averaging 5 blocks and 2 steals. And so why couldn't he do that over an entire season? He's averaging 3.5 blocks right now. He's going to be better, stronger, wiser, everything next year. Why can't he block 4.5 shots a game next year? Why can't he average 2 steals per game? So go ahead from here, man. But this is like kind of crazy to me. Second year guy over Jokic and Luka. I mean, these are literally possibly Mount Rushmore guys in the history of the NBA for statistics. And now we're talking about taking Wemby over these guys, man. So this is some pretty groundbreaking stuff, Doc.
You and I talked about this last week at the very end of our podcast. I said, who are you taking number one next year? And I think we talked about it. And I think at the end you were like, ooh, yeah, I think I'm taking Wemby. And I think that was you and me. I could be wrong. But the minutes are going to be up there higher next year for Wemby. He's playing, what, 25 minutes a game this year?
No, it's like 30. I'll look it up, Doc, but it's like 30.
I feel like it's closer to 25, but I could be wrong. I feel like his per minute, his minutes are going to be up next year. They're going to run plays for him next year. They're going to rebuild the team around him next year. And there's going to be none of this, 22 minutes here and 26 minutes there. It's going to be 30 minutes to 35 minutes a night with them trying to win a championship sooner than later, because that's how good this kid is. And it is a no-brainer to me. Wemby is the number one pick by a landslide. I don't even think it's close.
He's averaging 1.7 threes this year as a rookie, shooting 32% on threes. And he's got, I can't say he's got a wetter dock, because you got to have the results and the good looking shot. But his shot looks really, really good. And he's going to figure it out. And that three ball is going to start going every year at a higher and higher clip. So he's going to get over 2 threes per game. I believe he's going to be right around 2 steals per game. Maybe it's 1.8, 1.9. He's going to be north of 4 blocks per game next year. It's just insane to think about where we're going here with Wemby. And congratulations to everybody for making it through a possible shutdown. I mean, I wouldn't even be worried about that anymore. If I were you, there are some teams shutting some dudes down, but it is not going to be the San Antonio Spurs. So, Doc, I want to talk about some of these teams here, man.
Are we done with Wemby?
No, go ahead, dude, whatever you got.
Let me see if I can pull it. I drafted him in 30 deep. I drafted him in my rock and roll league. Both of those teams are in the playoffs. We're rolling people, and it's all Wemby, dude. It's Wemby. It's all because of Wemby. And Popovich did not slow him down. He's skinny as a beanpole, but he only missed 7 or 8 games. Mm-hmm. And then he also is bringing new lexicon and language into the game. Like, when was the last time or first time or ever did you hear somebody say, oh, that was a dad block? It's when Wemby's standing out there guarding some guard who's 6'1", and he doesn't even jump, and he just catches the ball as the kid throws it up and then takes off down the air in the court. Oh, that was a dad block. That's like a dad going against his 5-year-old out in the playground. And Wemby does it once or twice a game. Like, it's unbelievable.
He's absolutely insane, ladies and gentlemen. So we got some news on Ausar Thompson here, Doc, and we talked a little bit about this last week. It's not good. They've diagnosed a blood clot. He is out for the remainder of the year. Isaiah Stewart is out for the remainder of the year. Thankfully, they're playing Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren, and I believe that will continue, Doc. I don't know what your theory is on this. But Detroit has not shut down their main guys. They have not played due to injury, and I think that's what's going on here. I think that Ausar would be playing a lot. I think Stewie, as they call him, would be playing a lot. I think these are – I mean, especially with Ausar Thompson, right? It was the asthma thing. Now it's a blood clot. Like, what? So I feel bad for him, and I'm kind of wondering where we're going with that. There's not really anybody to look at here, Doc, for fantasy for me. Umidi – I believe that's how you say his name. He's a shooter. I saw him in the preseason, caught my eye a little bit. Evbuwamen. I'm not really going there, and I'm not trying to like mock anybody. I don't really know how to say his name. But like Marcus Sasser, I'm not. I mean, why is he not starting? Why are they starting Umude over Marcus Sasser? That does so. Talk to me about the All-Star thing, and I'm not seeing any meat on this chicken bone right now to go to waivers with any of these guys.
No, and the All-Star thing is scary and it's sad. And you know, if Caris LeVert could come back from all the stuff he came back from, hopefully All-Star can do the same thing. So I hope this isn't like some long-term thing. I don't think it is. Evan Fournier has been getting run and starts with Simone Fontecchio out. I think that is interesting. But really, Fontecchio is the guy I want, but he's hurt right now. So not a lot there. I mean, Jaden Ivey is like must-have at this point. That's Jaden Ivey, Cade, and Jalen Duren. But I wish Fontecchio was playing.
And Doc, also here, I want to talk to you about Keon Ellis of the Sacramento Kings. He's
five
like,
blocks here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing some Alex Caruso type of stuff here. Low points, a little bit of rebounds and assists, big in the blocks and steals, hitting threes. And let me check his stat line here tonight. Sacramento is annihilating the Raptors, who are playing without RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, and Scotty Barnes, of course, and Keon Ellis in this game. Wow, he has not scored. He had 6 points at halftime, hasn't scored anymore, hasn't really played much more, 25 minutes. Doc, he's got a Caruso line here. He's got four steals. He's got one block. He's got two threes. Keon Ellis has my attention, Doc, because I'm a fantasy gold guy, and I get that the points are going to be weird because you have all these other guys putting the ball in the hole. He's the fifth option in that starting lineup. He's basically going to take – catch and shoot threes, right, Doc? It's not going to be much beyond that, but he has my attention. I'm actually sniffing him out in the Cam Dynasty and thinking about scooping him up here for the stretch run. But my roster was full tonight. I didn't have any optionality, but I'm looking at him. And so would you recommend Keon Ellis and that defense to the people?
I mean, just look at that game log and those steals. One steal, two steal, three steal, three steal, two steal, one steal, four steal. Like, his game log is full of steals. He had five blocks in his last game. He had one block in the game before that. He had a block in the game before that. He's hit a three-pointer in four straight games and five of his last six. That's all fantasy gold. The minutes have been there. I don't know what he's doing tonight, but he's getting run, and he's kind of fun. Like, I'm very intrigued by that kid as well.
Yeah, you guys should take a look at him, man. It is Rick Kamla and it is Steve Alexander. He is Dr. A, FSWA Hall of Famer. I'm the Fantasy Freak. We're the OGs and having fun with you guys in a different time slot here tonight. And a nice number of people are in here. We really appreciate your eyes and ears, maybe as you've got us on a computer and you're watching here. Boston and Milwaukee, the Celtics are separating here. They're up 18 late third, and Jaylen Brown just generated a foul, or I believe that was a foul on Milwaukee. No, it's not a bounce. And Brown is saying, yo, they fouled me. Doc, is there any meat on the Washington bone here? And it's very, very key to note here. Like, I don't know where we're going with Washington and the shutdown here. Tyus Jones feels like he's being shut down. But Kyle Kuzma has been removed from the injury report for their next game. So you've got a bunch of guys out here. I'm looking at Julian Champagne. I like the Champagne brothers, by the way. These guys give you fantasy gold. They give you blocks. They give you steals. They give you threes. And Julian Champagne, who's the wizard, he's had back-to-back, like, nice, juicy games. The game before that was decent. He's in the starting lineup. And so I'm on him. I've messed around with Patrick Baldwin a little bit here, Doc, in very, very deep leagues, obviously. The efficiency is low. He had a tremendously horrible first half with foul trouble, then had a good second half. That was the Houston game the other night. And I'm really curious to see which of those guys comes out of the starting five with Kuzma coming back in. But to me, Julian Champagne is the people that people should be looking at right now. If you're in a deeper league, you're streaming to gain a little bit of an advantage in a head-to-head where you can make moves daily. I think people need to look at these two guys. Do you agree?
Yeah, and just to be clear, Justin Champagne plays for Washington. His brother...
Wait, help me out. So
Justin plays for Washington. The other champagne he plays for San Antonio.
Julian. And that's Julian that plays for San Antonio.
I didn't even know there was a Justin until just recently. I didn't know there were Champagne brothers. Because I am a slacker. And that's about the only reason I can think of. But but Justin Champagne has been really good the last couple games, and he's very intriguing. This Patrick Baldwin, I'm getting a lot of questions about him. He's been very intriguing. Our guy, Corey Kispert, we talked about him a lot last week. We were both kind of on him. He's been good. Is anyone shutting anyone down, Rick? Like, I don't know. I don't know if Tyus Jones is being shut down or not, because I feel like this league mandate of thou shall not sit healthy players anymore has really caught on. And the fact that Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane are playing for Memphis literally blows my mind. Like, I cannot believe it.
It's a new NBA, thank God, right? Joe Dumars came out and said it's an 82-game schedule. We need our teams to look at it that way. And I'm with Doc. I think the league said we need this, and the teams are like, okay, we'll do this. Think about it, Doc. You would think that Utah is shutting down Clarkson, Markkanen, this kind of thing.
Markkanen was gone. I forgot about him. Right?
But John Collins is still starting for them. Kessler is still playing. Colin Sexton is still playing. If you're going to shut down, then so I don't really know what Clarkson, like, are we ever going to finish the season again? But they don't feel like they're shutting down. Bane is playing. Marcus Smart may come back from Memphis, okay? And Portland is playing DeAndre Ayton, and he's bragging about his second half silly season game, which is so laughable. The Spurs aren't sitting guys out. Detroit's not sitting guys out, right? If they're healthy, they're playing.
Yeah.
Washington, I'm a little bit in the mud on them, okay? I will say that. The Kuzma thing, maybe he's just a baller and he's telling the medical team, F this, I'm playing, and they're trying to shut everybody else down. Remember, it's a new regime. This is a huge draft for Singer and the new regime there in Washington. Charlotte's not shutting their guys down. Clifford's trying to win games here at the end. The Raptors don't have any incentive. They don't have their first-round pick. I'm 99% sure on that. I got to double-check that. The Nets don't have incentive to tank. I know they don't have their first-round pick. So, Doc, this is like a new NBA. And guess what? We are the beneficiaries out here in the fantasy community.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, if Kuzma didn't come back with Denny Avdija out and with Tyus out and Marvin Bagley, I'd be like, yeah, I think the Wizards might be shutting this party down.
You know, your boy Abdi is questionable for the next game, so he may even come back and play, man.
Well, and I see Rashawn Holmes is also day-to-day. That's not good. He's got an illness, though, so I guess I can live with that. He's on my 30 deep roster and already hurting because who I lost Zach Collins in that one, so that's – stinks, but it's a new NBA, dude. And like these guys are playing through injuries and playing till the end of the season, apparently. Because I mean, I think you and I were fully prepared for like six teams to fully be shut down by this point. And really, there's only been a few guys that have really shut it down, like LaMelo Ball. You know, that's a shutdown. Like that is, he's not playing again. But some of these other guys, you know, you and I were talking about DeAndre Ayton. We've talked about Lauri Markkanen. We've talked about a bunch of these guys. Like, nope, that we will not see them again. And then, bam, they're back. So props to the NBA for at least trying to get these guys out there every night.
Indeed, man. Indeed. You mentioned LaMelo Ball. Doc, here's the thing with LaMelo Ball. I question love of the game with him. You know, he doesn't watch basketball. He said in an interview, this was early in his career. He may now. I doubt it, though. He said he doesn't watch basketball because he was asked about a matchup with LeBron James. He's like, it's just another player on another team. They're like, what? He's like, I really don't watch basketball that way. So it's a job. I mean, this is ridiculous. Like, he's a myth. He's becoming a myth like his brother and like his father. But guess what? If he were healthy, he'd be playing. They would not be shutting him down right now because they're salty in Charlotte. They want to win games. They're tired of sucking every year. But also maybe just because the league told them to do it. However way, by hook or crook, we're getting what we want with that. All right, let me have the mic here for a minute, Doc. And I want to have a debate with you and our beautiful people out here on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by SmartBracket.io. Doc, I want to have a weekly versus daily debate with you because I'm salty. I'm bitter. I'm in my feelings about 30 deep. And for those of you that are like, 30 deep, what is that? Malik Monk, by the way, had another detonation in this game tonight. I love Malik Monk.
Yeah, lock up sixth man of the year. It's over.
Lock it up. I actually have a Malik Monk theory that I want to drop on you too. But I got a Doc. I have not. So 30 deep is this industry league created by Dr. A many, many years ago, 20 some years ago. I've been in this league. It feels like 20 years. I don't even know. Okay. And I've never won this thing. And it's not about me, but it just keeps happening over and over and over. I don't have a rock star team this year. I have a good team this year. Okay. I was in the top eight. I'm in the final four. My team doesn't suck, but I don't have a great team. I've been telling you guys and Doc this all year. I just don't like my team. I usually have a better team. Some things didn't go my way in the draft. But you hang in there and you do your thing, right? All right. Well, I'm dead. Okay. Because, Rudy Gobert is out and I can't put a guy in for him because it's a weekly league and it's been a weekly league the entire run. And I've had these complaints before. Okay. Doc, I've probably had, this isn't one of the teams, but I've probably had like three or four teams that were like extraordinary. And I'm like, this is going to be the year that I win 30 deep. And then lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt. And I don't. Okay. But what if I would have had the opportunity? What if other industry dudes and ladies on other teams that felt that way about their teams, lightning bolt, you lose. Okay. And maybe they're like, yo, why can't I have the ability here to make moves in week and adjust and work on the fly, go to the waiver wire, do something, okay, as opposed to just I'm helplessly on the sideline in a weekly league, which just feels so archaic and so cavemanish and so ice age-ish that we need to change that. And so I don't like weekly leagues. This is the only league that I play in that's weekly. And I will always play in this league, Doc, even if the league is like, middle finger to me, shut up, stop complaining. We're keeping it weekly. I will still keep playing in this league and searching for that holy grail. But it really bothers me, Doc. I mean, here we are once again at the altar, lightning bolt, Kamala's team is dead. And so where are you at with 30 deep going to daily as opposed to weekly? Do you think it would ever pass in a vote among league members? And I don't know, just overall, where are you at with daily and weekly? And the people watching us here on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by SmartBracket.io. Tell us what you think about daily versus weekly.
Well, the funny thing is, Rick, is when you and I became buddies 20 years ago, or whenever it was, you invited me to play in League Freak. League Freak was a weekly league on CBS Sportsline, just like 30 Deep is. Now, we're talking 20 years ago versus today. I get it. But I modeled that league after League Freak. And I modeled that league. I always loved the simplicity of a weekly league where you just set your lineup and you're stuck. And, you know, back then, CBS, I don't even know if CBS allowed daily moves, right? Like, I think they may have been like a weekly website, a weekly manager. And at that time, I think they were the only ones who could handle a 30-team league. And we had the Chris Towers or whoever CBS hookups that would waive the fees that they charged. So we got to play there for free. And I think just adding all that together, it's just that's how it started. And that's where it's always been. And I don't know that there's really been a discussion about it going daily. Now, from a common sense standpoint, no fantasy sports league in this day and age should be a weekly league. We have the technology. We're like the six,
like the Bionic Man, right like back
Steve
in the day.
Austin, like Steve Austin. We can rebuild him. We can make him better, faster, and stronger for $6 million.
That was a good show back in the day. Way back in the day.
We have the tools. We have the resources. Like, I think we should bring it up for a vote and see if we can go daily, because I am someone who, I just told you, I don't have Zach Collins, and I don't have maybe Rashawn Holmes. I can't replace him. I do have, however, Peyton Pritchard in there, thank God. But I also have Coby White sitting on my bench, and he's probably going to come back and play the next game. So, yeah, I'm right there with you, dude. It's kind of asinine that we are playing in weekly leagues in 2024.
I am so freaking happy to hear you say that. And I have a bold proclamation right now. I'm going to win 30 deep if it goes daily, because daily is my wheelhouse. Weekly is not my wheelhouse. Weekly is lazy. I'm a work ethic guy. I'm a motor guy. I'm making moves all the time. And so a lot of people are probably like, all right, let me check on my 30 deep team and a little scooch, a little movement, boom. And they move on with their lives. I'm a tinkerer, okay? And a lot of you scientists are as well. We like to tinker. We like to turn screws and take a hammer and hit the nail with it, okay? And like work on our teams every day. It's a lifestyle. People ask me, Doc, when I'm in 15 footballs and, you know, 9 basketballs and I'm in, I don't know, 13 baseballs and I'm in 6 hockeys and I'm in all these college football, how do you do it? And I say, it's a lifestyle. Either you want to do it or you don't. And you also have to get smart about it and streamline your process. And that's why in baseball, Doc, I go heavy hitting early, so I don't have to worry about it. I just, Bryce Harper's my first baseman every day. Okay. I don't have to go and work on this and that. And then the pitching staff, there's more, you know, maintenance and movement and stuff like that with it, but I've streamlined it and I print championships that way, because if you have a nasty offense, you're going to win. Think about it, Doc. It's just baseball for a minute here. Gerrit Cole. How are the owners of Gerrit Cole feeling right now? They drafted him at the end of the first round and the second round. And so your season's kind of sort of screwed. If you went my method, you would have taken Freddie Freeman or Trey Turner or Juan Soto or one of those guys where they took Gerrit Cole. And you'd be like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cam told me not to take starting pitching early. I did not take Gerrit Cole. Woo, I survived that bump. Okay. But so just a quick little side note. Now, I told you, Doc, by the way, are you in any fantasy baseball leagues? Or are you not? You're not.
I had a draft last night, and my Twitter comment today was, in case you were worried that I only draft my guys in basketball leagues, don't worry, because I also draft my guys in baseball leagues. Reach City, had to get my Ellie De La Cruz.
I like it.
Had to get Spencer Strider, had to get Jazz Chisholm, had to get Jordan Walker, had to get O'Neal Cruz. Like, every flashy, shiny piece of metal I saw, I went out and got around early, and that's the way I roll. So,
I think O'Neal Cruz is a little overrated for me. The back of the baseball card, going back to the minors, does not support the buzz and the hype about him. And I'm sorry to be a buzzkill and all that, but I don't see it with O'Neal Cruz. I know a lot of people love him, and I could be proven totally wrong. I don't see it with O'Neal Cruz. I really don't. But Ellie De La Cruz, Doc, I am drafting up for him. I will take him in the third round. The shortstop is a very weird position this year, but let's get back to basketball here. And I want to tell you and the people about Malik Monk, Doc. He's going off here again tonight. He had the takeover in overtime against Memphis 2 nights ago, 12 points in overtime, 28-6-6. Couple of things, Doc. First of all, I want to bounce a couple of things off of you and the people. I believe that Malik Monk is a starting point guard in the NBA. If you watch Zach, you see him on the ball a lot. You see him in the pick and roll a lot. You see him vibing with Sabonis as the roller out of the pick and roll a lot. You see De'Aaron Fox standing on the right wing watching Malik Monk slice and dice, okay? And so he's made a major progression that way for me this year. And I believe that Malik, he's just nasty. He's a dog. He's super athletic. and super feisty and competitive. And I think he is ready for a starting assignment in the NBA. What I want, so A, do you think he's a starter or he's got to stay as a sixth man? And then, Doc, I want the San Antonio Spurs to go big and go get Malik Monk this summer to form a pick-and-roll combo with Victor Wembanyama that is going to light up the Western Conference. Think about this. Amin Alhassan told me this on NBA radio today. SAC has only early bird rights on Malik Monk. They cannot exceed any offer or match any offer. They have a specific number they can hit. And Amin said, if somebody comes with $20 million a year, which I think they will, he said SAC is going to be able to do nothing about keeping him, and they're going to lose him. So I do think he's gone, and I want to see him go to San Antonio. So do you look at him as a starter in the making or just a bench guy? And then what about the Monk and Wemby combo? Do you see the vision that I have here, Dr. A?
I do see the vision. I like that a lot. I cannot wait to see who Wemby gets teamed with in San Antonio. And Trey Jones even looks like a different player when he's playing with Wemby as opposed to when Wemby's not on the court. He's much better when Wemby's out there. I think all of his teammates are. I don't think Malik Monk has started a single game this season. I think he's come off the bench every single game.
That is correct.
He wants to be sixth man of the year. He needs to be sixth man of the year. He is sixth man of the year. And I don't think he cares if he's starting or coming off the bench as long as he's getting those closing minutes and putting in the playing the role that they need him to play. I don't think he really cares, but I do see him as a potential starter somewhere. And I think it's especially intriguing to imagine him running out there, him and Wemby running the court together is kind of a scary thought because I feel like Monk really likes to get out and run and would really like to push the ball and would really love playing with a guy like Wemby. So, yeah, I like all of that. Hey, Rick. And hey, March Madness fans, before we dive into the madness, we wanted to loop you in on one of our sponsors, Supported Intelligence. They've developed an AI tool called SmartBracket.io that could really help when you are building your brackets. Think of SmartBracket.io as that one friend who always has the inside scoop. Thanks to something they call rapid recursive technology, it's like having a secret playbook for your March Madness picks, making your bracket a bit smarter while saving you a ton of time. If you love the game and your bracket could use a bit of an edge or a full-on strategy overhaul, SmartBracket.io is worth a peek. It's fun, it's easy to use while leveraging some brilliant AI technology. Might just give you those bragging rights you're after. With March Madness here tomorrow at what, 11:55, 12:06, 12:03, I don't know, somewhere in there. A little extra insight never hurt. So check out smartbracket.io. Here's to enjoying the madness, making smart choices along the way. Thank you, Supported Intelligence.
I mean, I like it, man. I use that platform to help me with my brackets, and I'll let you know how that goes. But I'm confident, man. I'm digging it.
I got that old school bracket thing going, right? I have 125 pieces of paper in an envelope right now with like 125 $10 bills.
Can I get a piece of this action here, or is this just the Dahlonega League that it's all just, you know, hand to hand and you're going to pay these people out?
It's kind of hand to hand, it's kind of paper, it's kind of old school, cuz we got a lot of folk down here that don't use that Venmo now. Come on now. But I make exceptions. If you want to text me a picture of your bracket and Venmo me $10, I can make this happen for you.
Interesting. I may want to double my pleasure here. I'm in Mike Babchak's league, the Mad Dog Sports Radio League, and I feel like empowered here from SmartBracket.io. I do. I feel like I actually have a shot this year, as opposed to me literally licking the end of the dart and boom, 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 and throwing darts, and most of them miss, of course. I want to ask you a question. The people in here on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by SmartBracket.io. Is Dennis Schroeder the most slept-on player in fantasy ball? Dennis Schroeder, ever since Ben Simmons went back out, and God bless him as he comes back from another back surgery, Dennis Schroeder has been killing it. These numbers, Doc, over the last month, 15 points, 6 assists, 2.4 threes, 46% from the field. He's been solid, dude. 77% rostered in Yahoo leagues. That number is smaller, as we talked about all year, in ESPN leagues. And I mean, look, how are these assists left on waivers right now? To me, Dennis Schroeder should be like a 90% rostered guy. So that's why I wanted to bring him up here. People are sleeping on Dennis Schroeder if 23% of Yahoo leagues don't have Schroeder on the rosters right now.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. And Dennis Schroeder does this every single year, right? Every single year. Oh, he's going to the Lakers. Who cares? He's not going to do anything there. Oh, guess what? He's their starting point guard now. Oh, okay. That's cute. Now Dennis Schroeder, like, he just never goes away. And I think he is really maybe the most slept on guy in fantasy. I'm not going to say history, but year after year after year, I feel like people sleep on Dennis Schroeder. It's happening again this year. Like, for this year, for me, like, Grayson Allen and Dennis Schroeder are the two guys where they didn't get drafted. Nobody cared about them. Nobody expected anything from them. And they both just keep getting it done day after day and night after night. So props to both of those guys, man.
Let me bring up another underrated guy and slept on guy in fantasy. Doc, his name is Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso is 66% rostered in Yahoo leagues. Stop. And I don't know how they come up with these rankings, right? But Alex Caruso for the year in Yahoo, and this is a very standard format with the points, a nine cat format, okay? And he's 54th. And again, I don't know if, you know, Basketball Monster or RotoWire have him like in their algorithms that high when they, you know, go to all the stats and that kind of thing. But on Yahoo, he's 54 overall. Over the last week, the 32nd best fantasy player, okay? Like, it's all double-digit numbers. Like, that's pretty crazy to me. So over the last month, Alex Caruso is giving you 10 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists. Okay, right? Like, not great. But hanging in there in all of those categories, 2.5 steals in the last month. That would lead the NBA. 0.7 blocks. So we're talking about 3.2 stocks per game from a guard, okay, which is crazy, and 2 threes per game. So he's basically giving you, let's see, 3.2, 5.2 fantasy gold per game. That's outstanding. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he's at 9 or 10 points per game. He doesn't take a lot of shots. They've got other guys that gobble up the shots. Dang it. That defense should not be on waivers, Doc. Going back to the Keon Ellis conversation we had, if Caruso and Keon Ellis are both on waivers and you got to pick up one of them, I'm picking up Caruso, right? But, I mean, those guys should not be on waivers. I don't understand people sleeping on blocks and steals that way, Doc.
Yeah, and Caruso has been a really good shot blocker all year and really good at steals all year. And, like, Lonzo Ball ain't walking through that door, and he may never walk through it again. You know, I don't know. But Io DeSumo and Caruso both have been really fun. I know we had a little debate last week or 2 weeks ago. I was like, I think I'm going to go DeSumo. And you're like, I'm taking Alex Caruso. I'm not sure either of us was right or wrong, but your goal is steals and blocks and threes, and that's what you got. And, yeah, I mean, all three of those guys, Grayson Allen, Dennis Schroeder, Alex Caruso, you know, props to them for being extremely relevant fantasy players when nobody gave them the time of day on draft day.
It's you can't leave that stuff on waivers, guys. I want to look at some of the action here tonight, Doc, and then we can get some parting comments. Maybe take a comment or two out here. Hey, Jimmy Butler graced us with his presence tonight and scored 30. He had 4 steals. Big game from Jimmy Buckets here tonight. my computer. Here we go. Let's see what else is going on in this game here.
Rick, would you draft playoff Jimmy Butler in a fantasy league?
You mean like at the beginning of the year?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. He's been really good from the 3-point line this year. I have noticed. Okay, which has been strange. and ironic given the fact that the rest of his game has dipped a little bit. But he's not really a three-point guy, and I can't have a wing not giving me threes. Then you fall behind. And now you're always trying to make up the three game. So the Ben Simmons, right, he was always dead to me, Doc, in fantasy because he doesn't hit threes. So I don't mess around with the guys that don't hit threes. Oh, yeah, and Jimmy Butler's played like 55 games or something this year. He's a game misser as well. How about you?
No, I don't mess with guys who miss games.
How about Kawhi Leonard next year?
I tell you what, I was a never again on Kawhi and Paul George and Anthony Davis.
Yep.
Coming in, and you were like, I kind of like Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I smelled it. I smelled the eye of the tiger, Doc. I knew it.
You did. You did. And now I've been telling people that know that I'm not a Kawhi guy, and they're like, what do you think about Kawhi right now? I'm like, I kind of like it. He's playing every night, and he's balling out, and he looks great. So I don't think I'll ever become a full-blown Kawhi guy. But I can see me possibly drafting him at some point, somewhere.
I mean, I'm not going to overdraft Kawhi because I know the injury history, but dang it, he's been really dedicated and vigilant this year. Paul George has not been as, but it's been an uptick for Paul George over what we've seen in the past. I mean, these games tonight, Doc, Sacramento won by, oh my God, 34 points. Indiana absolutely clubbed Detroit here tonight. Boston is currently up by 11, about 4 minutes to go. Milwaukee, if they can hit a three ball on this possession, it gets interesting. And what a block by Jason Tatum on AJ Green, who cut towards the rim, thought he had a wide open layup, and Jason Tatum was like, no, no, no. Anything else you want to tell the people, Doc, before we get out of here? And wish them a great week and good luck here during the fantasy basketball playoffs.
Dude, I'm just hoping that you and I meet next week in the finals of 30 deep. That would be epic. I just hope I win. I hope I get there. I hope Wemby plays in this back-to-back. I hope everybody's playoffs are going well. I hope if you have Giannis, you can somehow survive this disaster that we're witnessing right now. And I will be back here on Tuesday with Kurian again. You and I will be back at our normal time on Thursday next week. Instead of this nighttime stuff, but actually I like the nighttime better, a little more in my wheelhouse. But no, I think that's all I got, man. I'm fired up about baseball. I'm fired up about March Madness tomorrow. I'm fired up about smartbracket.io. Like, let's go.
It's a great time to be a sports fan. No doubt about it. Just before we get out of here, if you need a streamer tonight, with the late night games, because we're about 10 minutes away, Jake LaRavia of Memphis, it's a guy you want to look at here. He played 40 minutes the other night. He's not going to play 40 minutes tonight. It was an overtime game, and there was some foul trouble, I think, for one of their guys. But it's low efficiency, okay? But he's a very good steal guy. He's going to hit some threes, and he's been living in double figures over the last, like, month kind of thing. So if you need a streamer tonight, just one last little piece of advice, Jake LaRavia of the Memphis Grizzlies. So for Dr. A, I'm Rick Kamla. We appreciate y'all, man. And we'll see you next Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern time right here on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by smartbracket.io. Peace, people.
Maybe I will name another dunk next week. Maybe I won't.